You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition. Sam Norris in the presenter's chair, joined by Tom Morley, to look ahead to the racing on Wednesday, as Tom offers a couple of bets for you to keep your eye on both Wednesday afternoon and into the evening. A little chat about some general newsy stuff as well. But first things first, it's a very warm welcome to the aforementioned Mr. Morley. How are you, Tom?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Second day of two for you today.
Yes, yep. Big. Yep. Wending my way home tonight at some point.
good stuff. How's it been over the last couple of days? Enjoyed the racing?
I guess yesterday's, it was sad to lose Hamilton. We've obviously suffered, or Scotland suffered anyway,
massively,
from abandonment,
yeah.
Hasn't it? It was trappy stuff yesterday, but at the end of the day, there's got to be days for every horse, and it was slow going. I mean, Leicester was heavy, Roscommon was heavy, and Kempton, I guess, offered a bit of respite in that, well, it was standard to slow, I think, yesterday. So
it's been standard to slow for a while,
yeah,
now, hasn't it, Kempton?
So it makes a change. Standard's usually par for every course on the all-weather.
Yeah.
It was probably not the greatest day of racing yesterday, but at the end of the day, if you can pick a winner, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it should be cracking stuff coming up this Sunday, of course, Tom.
Yes.
The ARC meeting at Shanty, always a fabulous card. And we're beginning to get a firmer idea now of who exactly is going to be taking part in the ARC, as we've been through the forfeit stage. Of course, we've got the supplements to happen this week as well, as we very much expect the odds on favourite enabled to be supplemented for the...
It'll be a bit of a shock if it...
It would, yeah, if she wasn't.
Yeah.
She's 8-11 in the betting. Ulysses 6-1. 10-1 Order of St George, 12-1, and bigger prices for the rest. First things first, I suppose, Tom, it doesn't look as though the French are going to be... I mean, they've got Bramato in there, but it doesn't look like they're going to be mustering much of a strong challenge this year for their premium race on the calendar, of course.
No, because especially with the layout of the race and Enable being such a short price, I hadn't particularly started studying, if you like, the French racing that had been going on, which is very hard to study anyway because of slow paces and so on. But I was going to hope to find a French horse, maybe at a big price, who could sneak into a place.
Mm.
But like you say, the number of French horses in the race are actually relatively few and far between in the first place. So that's probably, and certainly not many in the sort of second division, if you like,
yes,
of the betting. So that might not be the easiest ploy to do this year. I guess it's maybe just been a week year for this sort of horse over there. It'll be... I mean, I think obviously Enable, in theory, has got everything in her favour. It is simply a question that she is female.
Yeah.
And they can sometimes go off the boil. And it's been a long season for her. But that is really, you know, we haven't heard any negative comments, have we? You'd have thought there would have been some sort of drift in the bettings one way or another if had been any negativity surrounding her. So one has to assume it's all systems go for her. And unless there is that one factor of going off the boil or just being a race too far this year that they can only pick up when she actually runs the race, it's hers to lose, isn't it?
Mm. Absolutely.
And hopefully, you know, for the joy of having a top-class horse, you don't want her to lose.
Yeah, 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 of course. Without wanting to
I don't want her to lose.
Yeah, sure.
You might. You might back something else.
No. Without wanting to dwell too much on horses that aren't in the race, Tom,
yeah,
are you surprised Cracksman hasn't taken his chance? I know they want to keep him racing next year as well, but...
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't... You know, people can be upset or anything, and it's none of their business, to be honest.
Sure.
However, if it had been my horse, yeah, I'd have run, because you never know what's going to happen next week.
Yeah. Well, if the horse is sound and informed now,
why not give it a go? And, I mean, Enable's a short price. You should never be scared of one horse in any race on that regard, because if that underperforms, it's a very open arc. So, certainly if it had been my horse, I would have run it. I'd have probably sold it long ago. But, you know, I do. I'm very much of the thing. The horse may have any amount of issues over before next year comes along. And whilst I like the idea of these older horses running on, and that's clearly good for racing, yeah, I'd be running.
Yeah. One horse that we won't be seeing next year as well, who's obviously worthy of a mention, Ulysses, who's going to be retired at the end of the year, has had a real, not a renaissance. He's not a horse ever went off the boil, but has really hit his straps over the last few months.
That's the thing. He was a horse who I think people labelled unfairly a few question marks, perhaps, and has now really silenced those doubters.
Yes.
And as you say, he never went off the boil, but he's merely proved himself, I think, now to people. And what, second favourite, isn't he? And,
yeah, 6-1.
And would be the logical alternative if you're looking beyond Enable, or if Enable underperforms. You can't knock what Ulysses has been up to recently.
Mm.
But, you know, it's a very open betting market, and it's tricky. Obviously, Aidan O'Brien's going to have however many runners going. And trying to work out which one would be best. First of all, you don't actually know what tactics each one are going to employ.
Yeah.
You know, there might be a couple that will be employed in slightly different tactics to make sure that, I'm not to say to negate their chances, but to maximise the pool's chances.
Yes.
And you wouldn't know necessarily which one's going to do what. So that does make it tricky. I mean, it's tricky anyway, trying to work out the ins and outs. We've seen all year, haven't we, that horses of his beating each other in race after race. So, and there's no set standard bearer each time. So, that throws a whole new sort of scenario on it. I think there's been a bit of money, hasn't there, for the German horses. The rate has been falling, which is fair enough. And, I mean, I was just, I don't know what the exact latest going is for Shanti, apart from it's soft, soft, soft.
Yeah,
I know I got a thing through for Maison Lafitte, which is on the Monday, and I know it's soft there.
Right.
And that...
Trey soft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even by our standards. I mean, they seem to call most ground soft over there, but I think it probably really is soft.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, it's, we haven't had much of a summer since about June.
No,
so.
No. Good stuff. That's the arc to come then a little bit later on this week. And just before we move on to Wednesday's racing, just a quick mention for Quiet Reflection, who returned to form at Nace over the course of the weekend, and a potential meeting with Harry Angel has been mooted by connections for the champion sprint on Champions Day at Ascot. Currently an 8-1 chance for that race. Where do you rank Quiet Reflection in terms of the rest of what is a talented group of sprinters at the moment?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because that race in Ireland, you know, it didn't have a huge amount of depth, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And clearly, she did it well. And then you're going to be looking once again at the ground conditions. You know, if it was bottomless, which wouldn't be the first time for that meeting, then as wonderful as Harry Angel has been, clearly that might start to increase others' chances potentially.
Although he did appear to act on it at Haydock.
He did. And to be fair, Haydock or Ascot, soft grounds.
Yeah.
I know which I'd rather be running on, and it's not usually the quagmire at Haydock. So you'd have thought so, but I would anticipate her odds contracting if it does get softer. I'm not saying she would beat Harry Angel, because I think that's, from what we've seen, that would be quite hard work for much to beat Harry Angel.
Yes.
But I think her odds would contract, possibly, you know, if people are looking at the each way side angle of the race. It's hard to know, because that's until she actually faces some of the others,
where she
fits in the rankings, I'm not sure. Clearly, if you go back a year, then great. And that was, you know, you can't crib that run on Sunday. So we will see.
Absolutely. That's coming up in a few weeks' time then at Ascot. We'll move on to matters closer at hand then, look at Wednesday's racing. Tom's picked out a couple of races and a couple of horses to keep your eye on. And from Group 1s at Ascot, we go to a Class 5 seller at Redcar coming up at 4:40 over an extended 7 furlongs. Low-grade race, Tom, but a winner pays the same in a Group 1 as it does in a seller at Redcar. Who's caught your eye in this particular heat?
Indeed. A winner is a winner, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So, I mean, effectively, this is just under 1 mile, as it's 7 furlongs and 200 and whatever yards.
Yes, yeah.
The horse I like in this race is the top one, Candelisa. Now, if we focus back in April, when this horse ran in the Spring Mile at Doncaster, came a cracking third that day, beaten less than 2 lengths by Ballet Concerto. Now, Ballet Concerto is now rated 118.
Mm.
And here we have a horse who was beaten less than 2 lengths by that, running in a cellar. You know, if you said to me that this horse would not have actually won in his last 15 outings, and certainly all year. I don't think I'd have believed you. He's actually run okay a few times since. Fourth at Ripon, which didn't suit horses held up, such as him on that day. The fifth at Hamilton, where he weakened having had a break. And then last time out, fifth in refitted cheek pieces, which are still on today. He has an official rating of 86, which means he is best in anyway. If he runs anywhere near his level, which you could argue he has been running fairly close to that level in the handicaps, he should win fairly comfortably. His main rival almost certainly will be Fort Bastion, who's got an official rating only £1 lower, 85, and has run respectably in three of the four starts this year. Could build on his last run at Ripon when fourth, but his form certainly seems to have been best in recent times on the all-weather, and he's yet to win for this yard. And if you look outside those, then you're going down to something like Dandaliki, who's got an official rating of 74, and has generally been running fairly poorly anyway. Gets a visor to try and perk him up. Lady Lydia looks very much an all-weather horse these days, and has not been seen since April. Sea View, who does get £4 from the selection, is still nearly a stone wrong, but was in okay form when last seen. But that was back in May and June. And the rest on ratings have a hopeless task at the weights. Now, I'm not quite sure how the odds are going to be come race time. I mean, obviously, as I say, you've got Candelisa and Force Bastion actually rated quite close together. Yeah. But
15 to 8 on the forecast, I'm
you know, that seems to me a big price if it's anything around that for Candelisa. You know, he ought to be able to win this quite comfortably. And if he does so, I would have thought there'd be a bit of interest after the race in him as well. You know, he's only four.
Yeah, sure.
And I obviously don't know the physical side to the horse and whether that's been holding him back one way or another. But, you know, I still can't get away from that first run of the year. So Candelisa.
Candelisa in the 4:40 race at Redcar. Then on to Wednesday evening's action at Kempton. And we go to the 8:10, which is a handicap over just shy of a mile and a half. A Class 4 event with 12 runners down to take their chance in it. And an interesting look to this race as well, Tom. Where are you going to go?
Yeah, there are three-year-olds getting the allowance from the older horses. And I think it probably pays to focus, well, mostly I think two of them have got the best chances in the race. But Special Relation is the one I like. He was stepped up to this trip last time at Pontefract after a five-month break. Although he was unable to sort of extract him from a bit of himself from a bit of a pocket, once he did, he really finished well, strongly, and got the better of Tor. And if we look at Tor and what that horse has done since, he ran there off 75, now rated 89, having won three races since, admittedly over further, but nevertheless, he's franked that form really nicely. The break since he ran in June shouldn't be an issue, judged by how well he ran after a long break at Pontefract. Although he's never run at Kempton, he's been second at three other all-weather tracks. So, you know, one would be pretty hopeful that he should act here. One potential negative is that he was meant to run at Ascot in July, but wouldn't go into the stalls. However, you could offset that by he's been got gelded straight after as punishment for that behaviour. So, you know, I think there's a lot of ticks in the box for a Special Relation. Looking at the dangers, main run be the progressive Powwow. One of the other three-year-olds, effectively, who has won his last three, but he went up £10 for that last victory at Bath in a weak race. Admittedly, he won really easily, but it should also be noted that before the race, he reared over, unseated his rider, and he was already a gelding, so he hasn't had the chop after that. So that suggests he's probably still got some attitude. He's not been seen since June, though he did win after a break before, but also it's his first run for a new stable after his £85,000 purchase in July. So, you know, I just feel there's more question marks. I fully respect Powwow, but I think Special Relation has more ticks in the boxes and less question marks against him, or the question marks have actually been answered already. And it's possible that horses like Bats Rock, Regicide, and Night Music could all run well, but it's hard to see them possessing the same potential to improve as those two lightly raced three-year-olds. And with Special Relation also only getting a £5 rise for that last win when he beat Tor, he looks the one to beat for me.
Special Relation then in the 8:10 race at Kempton. Just give us a quick reminder then of your 2-4 Wednesday to focus on, please.
So we've got Candelisa running in the cellar at Ripon, and then Special Relation running in the 8:10 at Kempton.
Good stuff. Thank you very much for that, Tom. Make sure you listen to the action on William Hill's Racing Radio on Wednesday. Cheers for that, Tom, and best of luck with the selections.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.